Welcome to the Chapel Podcast from Stark College and Seminary. This semester, our theme is Evangelism, Casting Nets, and Connecting Nations to Christ. Our featured speaker this week is Reverend Lee Ortegon, pastor at First Baptist Church in Bishop, Texas. His message is entitled, A Fisherman's Tackle Box.
Hello, students of Stark College and Seminary. My name is Pastor Lee Ortegon of the First Baptist Church of Bishop, Texas, little community of 3,200 just south of you guys. I am a bivocational pastor, and so my primary job is the church here at the First Baptist in Bishop. But my other job, if you will, is working in a laboratory. I oversee quality control analytical testing on ibuprofen, that good stuff that you take when you have aches and pains. Well, that stuff is produced, a good majority of the world's supply is produced right here in little old Bishop, a company called BASF, German company. And let me just say this, when I was first asked to participate as a speaker this semester for chapel, I was really excited at the opportunity to come visit the campus and interact with you, the students. We know that's not possible in this current state of the pandemic that we're in the midst of. By now, though, I'm sure that we've all grown accustomed to this form of communication, this communication medium, right? Now, I tell you, this video thing, right, early on, while we were all trying to navigate through this type of communication, right, or figure out ways that we could communicate with our homebounds, a lot of the older folks struggled a bit with this technology. But you know what? God created us with incredible adaptive abilities. I have 80 and 90-year-olds who watch our remote services, right, every Sunday through Facebook. Man, if you'd have told me 2 years ago that, for instance, 96-year-old Mr. O'Neill Towery, a longtime member of our congregation here, would be watching a worship service through Facebook, I'd have told you, no way, right? But this is amazing times and incredible times that we're living in. Let me just say this. I pray that the Lord keep you and your family safe during this pandemic. And, as we well know, that you guys manage to stay warm during this crazy apocalyptic-like cold weather snap that we're currently going through. Well, the theme for this semester's chapel series is evangelism, casting nets and connecting nations to Christ. You know, when you go into Stark's website, the caption that pops up in bold letters is, you're called to do something extraordinary. Get equipped today. Boy, I tell you, I love that. Because the reason you guys are enrolled here at Stark is quite simply, God has called each of you to some aspect of ministry. And being a former student here myself, I know that this institution of higher learning will certainly equip you for whatever role that may be. All right? Now, some of you may know exactly where the Lord's leading. For instance, you may know that you're going into pastoral ministry or youth ministry or worship leader, children's ministry, counseling, chaplaincy, whatever. You know exactly where you're going. Some of you may have a general idea about where the Lord is leading, but you still need a little more clarity. And some of you may not have any idea, right? You're just preparing because you know you've been called, but you're waiting for direction. Well, regardless of which of these three scenarios you fall into, remember that each of you, as the caption says, are called to do something extraordinary. Now, I've titled this message, A Fisherman's Tackle Box, all right? Now, all of us being this close to the coast, I'm sure many of you have had an opportunity to go fishing. I love fishing. A seasoned fisherman can tell you that what you pack in your tackle box is dependent on what type of fish you want to catch, right? Your topwater lures, live bait tackle, bottom rigs, crankbait, spinners, spoons, rigs, spec rigs, you know, stuff like that. Now, myself and many others who do a lot of fishing have an abundance of equipment in our tackle boxes for various types of fishing, freshwater, saltwater surf, wading, et cetera, right? Well, ministry is very similar. And Stark will help equip you with various tools to pack into your ministry toolboxes, right? So that you're prepared to carry out the ministries God has called you to. Now, what I'd like to do today is to simply affirm three foundational principles that you should all, that all of us really, should keep in mind as we carry out, as you carry out your unique calling in whatever context God has you ministering in. And so to achieve this, I'd like to draw from two sources, a song and a block of biblical text, biblical scripture. So first, the song. To be more specific, part of a song, right? The Repeating Bridge of Oceans is what I want to share with you by Hillsong United. You know this song. And that repeating bridge, I think it repeats about six times, but it's beautiful, right? And I want to emphasize just on the bridge part here. Without borders, let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. You know the song, and you know the words. And I'm sure you've sung them many times. And the song in its entirety is really powerful. But here in the bridge section, I find three foundational principles that we should all keep in mind as we carry out our unique callings. Number one, let your trust be without borders. Number two, be prepared to go wherever Jesus calls you. And number three, let Jesus take you deeper than you think that you're able. And so to expand on these three points that we've extracted from this beautiful song, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Let me read these to you using the NLT translation. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out onto the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish." Verse 5 says this, Simon replied, "Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." This time, the scriptures say, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please forgive me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So the first of the three foundational principles that I mentioned earlier is let your trust be without borders. I want to speak in terms of borders and look specifically at Peter, some of the borders that perhaps enslaved him, or entrapped him, or limited his ability to do what God wanted him to do. We know that his worldview, Peter's, was based on Mosaic law, right, and logic. Now, think about this. No Jew in this time would think of going into a Gentile's home, much less eating with a Gentile, right? Because if that had happened, it'd be ceremonially unclean or defiled, correct? The Lord Jesus had clearly told his apostles, right, to go into the entire world, all the world, to preach the gospel to every culture. But in their centuries-old Jewish way of thinking, the disciples thought this. They thought that Jesus was meaning for them to go and preach to the Jews who were scattered all over the world, the diaspora, if you will. But the thought of preaching the gospel to pagan Gentiles and of those Gentiles coming to salvation without first becoming religious Jews, oh my goodness, that was just simply unthinkable. But at some point in their ministry, God asked Peter to do something incredible, the unthinkable, right? And so, in obedience, Peter takes with him six Jewish believers to the home of Cornelius, if you remember, right? And they were to be witnesses of what God was going to do. And what they saw was the Holy Spirit fall upon the Gentiles in the same way that the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the believing Jews on that day of Pentecost. And so Peter goes back to Jerusalem, right? And to share this experience. And they pretty much dog him there, right? They say, man, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. That's all they could focus on, right? Rather than the miracle that they had witnessed. Well, God had to do some work, these early Christians, to change their way of thinking, right? Because this was essential in order for the gospel to spread. If the Gentiles had been required, think about this, to adopt Jewish rituals and ceremonies in order for them to be saved, well, that gospel would not have spread around the Gentile world as we know it did, right? And it certainly would have been a different type of gospel that was being disseminated. Peter needed an attitude adjustment to his mental borders in order for him to be part of Jesus' great commission. What about our borders, our cultural baggage? We all have some, right? I'll never forget one time in church, I just haphazardly mentioned this one girl, hey, ¿qué pasa? You know, and she just kind of looked at me and said, I have no idea what you just said to me. I'm like, girl, you've been living in South Texas for 40-something years, man. You know what I just said? You know, I said, my goodness, I was stationed in Germany for a couple of years, and boy, I tell you what, I got to a point where I could communicate pretty well with them, right? It's just crazy, these things. You know, it's just this cultural ambivalence, right? It's crazy. And think about the current situation in our own nation right now. I want to borrow an analogy. It seems like we've unleashed the spores of hate. I'll tell you who I borrowed that analogy from author Isabel Werkelson. Now, she's the author of a great book that's out right now called Caste, The Origins of Our Discontents. She starts off this first chapter with an incredible illustration that just captured me, right, when I first started reading this book. Talks about a summer in 2016 in the context of Siberian tundra, right? There was this heat wave that struck the area. And this place was so remote, it was what the ancients used to call the end of the land, right? And this crazy day, the temperatures reached an incredible 95 degrees on the Russian peninsula of Yamal, right? And there was wildfires that flared up, and there was pockets of methane being gurgled up from the normally frozen soil in this polar region, right? And what was going on was there were children of this indigenous herdman that started falling sick. Some sort of mysterious illness people had never seen the likes of before, right? A 12-year-old boy, for instance, would develop a high fever, start experiencing acute stomach pangs, and then he'd die, right? Well, Russian authorities declared a state of emergency in this area, began airlifting a lot of people, hundreds of these sick people to a nearby hospital. These people were called the Nenets, right? Let me just read for you how the author describes this beautiful analogy in her own words. She goes on to say, the apparent heat had chiseled far deep into the Russian permafrost than was normal, and had exposed a toxin that had been encased since 1941, when the world was last at war. It was the pathogen anthrax, right? Which had killed herds of reindeer all those decades ago and lain hidden in the animal carcasses long since buried in the permafrost. A thawed and tainted carcass rose to the surface that summer, The pathogen awakened, intact and as powerful as it had ever been. The pathogen spores seeped into the grazing land and infected the reindeer and spread to the herders who raised and relied upon them. Now get this. Look what she writes here. The anthrax. Like the reactivation of the human pathogens of hatred and tribalism in this evolving century, had never died. It lay in wait, sleeping until extreme circumstances brought it to the surface and back to life. It's amazing, the current state of affairs, the hatred that has even permeated the church, the division that has taken place in our nation right now. A lot of our church folks who have fallen prey to this crazy way of thinking, right, have adopted some sort of crusader mentality, right? You need Jesus, right? But I ain't interested in who you are, what kind of culture, what kind of language you speak, you know, but we know you need Jesus. It's insane. You see, we can be adequately equipped academically for what Jesus has called us to, right? We can have a variety of tackle in our tackle boxes ready to be fishers of men. But if we're still bound within the borders of our cultural baggage, our learned biases, and dare I say, our nationalistic zealotry, then we seriously will limit the maximum potential of our ministries. Are you willing to let your trust be without borders, without boundaries, without baggage? All right, that's second of three foundational principles. Be prepared to go wherever Jesus calls you to. Now, Jesus had told Peter, go out where it's deeper and let your nets down and catch some fish, right? Well, get this. That day, Jesus had a sizable following on the shore of the Galilean Sea. And that would have been an opportune time for Jesus to take Peter, sit him by his side and say, all right, now learn from the master, right? And I can hear Jesus saying something like, those nets that you've been cleaning on the shore will be of no use to you anymore. From this day forward, you will be fishers of man, fishers of people, rather than fish, right? Well, but Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he completes his message to the people that were gathered on the shore. He disperses the crowds. And then he tells Peter to get in his nets and go out where it's deeper and let the nets down to catch fish. Well, Peter and the other fishermen have been casting their nets, scriptures say, all night in deep water and shallow water, and they had no luck. When Jesus instructs Peter to try again, Peter reluctantly obliges. He says, Master, we worked hard all night, didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, we'll let the nets down again. Peter, bound by his knowledge of fishing and his earlier experience, obeyed out of respect. He knew there wasn't any fish in the area. To his surprise, though, he was wrong. He was dead wrong, right? And Peter, in his shame, for doubting, fell to his knees, the scripture said before Jesus said, oh Lord, please forgive me. I am such a sinful man. What an incredible object lesson. Jesus was to use this miracle to teach Peter a couple of lessons, right? One was the Proverbs 3:5 lesson, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. But another was that the catch, right, extends far beyond their fellow Galileans on the shore. Jesus would have Peter go far from the shore, so to speak, into deeper waters to fish for people, people of other cultures, non-Jews, mind you. Are you prepared to go where Jesus leads? How willing are you to lean not on your own understanding, to go beyond your familiar shores into the depths of unfamiliar waters, to go wherever Jesus calls you? How willing are you? And the last of these three foundational principles, let Jesus take you deeper than you think you're able. We live in a nation, folks, that can boast of being host to the greatest human experiment ever. At no other time in history has there been a nation with such a diversity of people and cultures. I love visiting my daughter in Austin, you know, in her neighborhood. Anytime we go out for a walk, I see people from all walks of life, from all cultures, from all over the world. Indians, Pakistanis, Chinese, Koreans, Latin Americans, Russians, Europeans. You know, she also had the luxury of living in South Florida, in Miami, for about 6 years. And it was the same there. Such a diversity of cultures. But there are some who would have us believe that this nation is being weakened because of its growing diversity. That's sad. But let me say this. Those voices will not be silenced, trust me. And their cry is only going to get louder and their actions more extreme. As ministers called to carry out the Great Commission, remember this, students. God's sovereign purpose includes the salvation of people from every nation for His glory. We need to stay focused on that fact. We need to remain faithful to that which we have been called to, the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? At times, it's going to be challenging to stay focused on that calling, all the distractions and all the disruptions. There may be times when you think you just can't continue your calling any longer. Let me just say, in those moments, remember that Jesus wants to take you deeper than you think you can go. Let your trust be without borders. Be prepared to go wherever Jesus calls you to. Let Jesus take you deeper than you think you're able to go. Students, let me just say this. May God bless each of the ministries that you've been called to. Don't forget your tackle boxes. And happy fishing. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Podcast from Stark College and Seminary. Stark College and Seminary prepares men and women to serve in the church and community all across South Texas, with teaching locations in Corpus Christi, McAllen, Victoria, and San Antonio. To learn more about us, you can visit stark.edu or find us on social media at Stark College.